last night they had a young people's, young adults get together, and Matt Garrett has been leading it. So, Matt, would you like to say a word about it? We'll run the microphone to you. There we go.
Hi, everyone. So I'm not the leader. There's like 10 or 12 of us. But so far, you've seen me. So we had a great time last night. We had a huge turnout. Like it was a lot of people came. We were really excited to see it.
What are those ages?
The age group is 18 is the hard bottom limit. And then the upper limit, it's a little softer, between 30 and 35. But 18 to, that's why we said 30-ish the last time. So we had a big crew, varying within that age range. And we talked about what we plan to do, and we're hoping to have a lot of small group stuff going on throughout the year and a couple of larger events like the one that we had last night. And we had a great crew last night. People prepared a free meal for everyone. We all came together. We just got to know each other a little bit better. Sometimes we look across the chapel, and like I'm all the way over here, and I can see some of my friends over there, but some of them I don't know just as much. And, you know, you get to talk more in a smaller setting. You get to know each other better, figure out ways to pray for each other. And part of our mission statement is to be able to grow together in the faith and knowledge of God, which is very similar to 2 Peter 3:18. So that's like our main purpose. We want to grow together as a body, as young people coming up in the body, and we want to learn together. We want to be able to to lean on each other and glean from each other. So we had a great time last night.
Wow! Great. You know, the Spirit of God, when we are Spirit-filled, all those barriers and walls are changed. Like, we don't have the same, you know, concepts about people. Pastor Chevalli preached this morning at 9 o'clock about our identity. And I did the message at 11, and we spoke about how important our identity is. And in the body of Christ, we have a new identity, and we reinforce in each other this identity. We are loved by each other. We don't even know each other in a way. Did this happen to you with Dr. Stevens, that you knew him, but then you didn't know him? Did that happen to you? It was like that for me. I was his disciple for, I think it was 36 years. He was my pastor and discipled by him. But in one sense, I didn't know him, and I'm very happy about that. But in the most important sense, I knew him, and that's because we are spiritual. When we are spiritual, there are things about each other that we don't know. We don't care about it. We don't look for it. I don't care about it. It doesn't mean much to me. Like, for example, do you eat spaghetti on Friday night? You know, does it really matter? Is that what it means to know somebody? Or is it more like the Spirit has put us together? You know what I was thinking of this afternoon? That I gave my life to Jesus in New York State in 1972, and I started to follow Jesus, and I hitchhiked from New York to Maine to go to a little Bible school that hadn't even started yet, okay? And there was a young girl, like 17 years old, in Washington, D.C., who spread out a map on the steps of a church and looked at the map and figured out where Brunswick, Maine was to go visit a friend. And we were soul winning in Brunswick, and we gave her a track. She came to the service, sat in the front, raised her hand for salvation, gave her heart to the Lord, and she became my wife. Okay. You know, how does it happen when young people say, how could I find a wife? Don't ask me. I have no idea. But, you know, if you get to know her like does she eat spaghetti on Friday night, you know, that kind of information, it might be useful, but there's something a lot deeper that's very important, and that is, has the Spirit put you together? Is the Spirit in this? When Adam needed a wife, he had a chimpanzee over on his right hand side, and he had a 800-pound gorilla behind him, and he had a horse and a dog, but he didn't have a wife, right? Okay, say to your neighbor, he didn't have a wife. Talk it up a little bit. Talk it up. He didn't have a wife. You know. Yeah. Well, what happened? The Lord put him to sleep because he knew Adam would mess it up. So God put him to sleep. And God gave him a wife. And it's a beautiful story. And I think it is more than just having a wife. I think it is being joined to the Lord. The Lord did that. He saved you. It's more. It's us knowing each other. It's more like we heard them sing about the coming of Christ. We know we have a home in heaven. Wow. Beautiful. Okay, last little testimony. Ciara came back from Vietnam. She was over there for 2 weeks. And she's right over here. We just want to hear her word, CR.
Do you want me to say anything specific? Or just say something? Okay.
This is where it's going, I think. Let me just say, this is where it's going. In my heart, I honestly believe, in my heart, Doug and Bethany are there and have poured out their hearts. Mm-hmm. And they have seen the openness of the Vietnamese people. There's 90 million of them, I think, more. Communist countries do us a great favor. Thank you, God. The devil does a great work for us. When you go to a communist country, there's something going on there. Okay, go ahead. We want to go back there. Doug and Bethany are coming home, but they want to pass the baton on.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. No, I'm joking.
I was there for 2 weeks for my practicum for Bible college, and... there's so much I could say. I had people over for like 2 hours this afternoon and talked about it, but I like wholeheartedly believe there's a place for us there, like 100%. And, I went 4 years ago and then I went back like now, and my feeling didn't change the whole time. Like there's a park. I love talking about this park, and I think the Pearsons do too. And I think it's because it's a really special place, but there's a park in one of the districts in Ho Chi Minh City that is like heavily populated with tourists and things like that. But a lot of young Vietnamese students learning English come there to practice their English with foreigners. And you can sit on a bench and within like 10 minutes, you know, just pray for a little bit, sit on a bench. And then you have like two or three Vietnamese people just walk up to you. Young people just sit down like, can I talk to you? You're like, yeah, you can. And that's like, I remember the first time I was there, that like captured my heart, and I like fell in love with like the people there. But also I just joined God there in what he was doing. And I think that I'm like talking to a room full of people who have way more experience in missions than I do. You know, like, what do I have to say in a sense, except for that I went and I joined God, and there's something happening in Vietnam. And I just think that there's so much I could say, but like it's almost like, okay, let's go. Like, if we go, God will just put it in our hands, you know, and like pray for the Pearsons, like pray for their health, but also like let's pray that God like sends us. And I like both times I've been there, I'm like, okay, like when am I moving here? And I live a pretty normal life. Like, I know I'm in Bible college, but I work like part time on campus, but I have a normal job that I love off campus, but like I would leave it. Like, you know, like, I don't know, like God could just like, it's ready. It's like there, like they're there, you know, like I sat with people who looked at me and said like, I want God. Like, after I just share a little bit, like, I want God, you know? Or, like, I stood in front of, there's, like, English clubs that Doug and Beth have been doing where there's just conversational English practiced. And I sat in groups, like, sharing with some of these people. And I got up to kind of, like, boldly, in a sense, just very blatantly share the gospel after one of them. And as I was talking about God, like, taking care of the root of our sin, it just struck me, like, how much I, like, believe this. And not just for me, but for them, too. And I think that that's so simple, but that's it. Like, that's it. It is so simple. Like, I'm not, yes, I did, like, make it all the way through Bible college, but also, like, I'm simple. Like, I could stay here the rest of my life and work and live a really normal life, and that's awesome. And then I could also go and live a life and, like, participate with God there. I participate with him here. I do it there. Like, he has it. He just wants to hand it to us, like hand us the kingdom, you know? And that's what, for me, that was really pressed on my heart when I was there. Just the presence of God was, I almost didn't experience the presence of God any other time except for when the gospel was coming out of my mouth. And in my heart, I just said like, okay, God, like, this is it. Like, this is what you have for us here.
You know? Wow. Thank you. Turn with me to Jeremiah 31. I was reading this afternoon, and just very simply and shortly tonight, just share with you what I kind of sensed and what want to see. I want to see young people come to the church on the street. I want to see in America, in Federal Hill. I want to see here. I want to see in small churches everywhere. I want to see in New York City, San Francisco, Denver, Colorado, Houston, Texas, everywhere. It's not greater grace. It is greater grace. We have a portion of it, but I want to see it everywhere with all kinds of churches, everywhere, a freedom and a drawing where people come and they're very deeply excited in their hearts about Jesus Christ. This text is really about the Jews going back to Jerusalem and Jeremiah prophesying. It's in chapter 31, verse 9. I'm reading from the Amplified. Verse 8. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, gather them from the uttermost parts of the earth. The Jews were in captivity 70 years, and then they returned back, and God is saying, I will bring them back. I think of what happened in the 70s with the Jesus movement. Life magazine, front cover, Jesus movement, hippies coming to Jesus. This brother, you know, who carried the cross around the world, you know, what's his name? Arthur Blessed. He was in Sunset Boulevard, Hollywood, California, and he had gotten saved. There was a cross. It was midnight in the church. God told him, take the cross down off the wall and carry it outside on Sunset Boulevard. There were Hell's Angels and hippies and free love and all of that in our culture, you know, sexual revolution and everything. And Arthur Blessed did it. I think it was at midnight. He was out till 2 or 3 in the morning, and he just carried the cross out. And there's guys with their motorcycles and their girlfriends and their drugs. And God spoke to him. And he said, share the gospel and minister. He did this for some time. Then he got a brain aneurysm. He was put in the hospital. The blood vessel in his brain was leaking. There was some damage. And he couldn't move. And they said to him, medical people said, you know, you're done. You can't move around. You have a brain aneurysm. And in his story, he said, God spoke to him and said, take the cross and carry it down the street and walk across America carrying the cross. Wow. He started to walk, and he hasn't stopped. Apparently, God healed his brain aneurysm. I don't know. He didn't die. He lived. And what? Okay, Rachel said he gets the brain aneurysm checked regularly, and he... it hasn't bled out, and he just keeps living. And he has carried the cross around the world on his shoulder, a little wheel on the end of the cross. You know the story, maybe, and he carries it. Okay. My point is, that's an amazing story, but I want to say that young people can turn to Christ and find him and come. And these verses say this. They say, they will come with weeping, verse 9, in penitence and for joy. They will come with weeping, pouring out prayers for the future. I will lead them back. I will cause them to walk by streams of water and bring them in a straight way in which they will not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O you nations, and declare it in the isles and coastlands far away, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from the hand of him who was too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and will flow together and be radiant. When this happened in our ministry 50 years ago, whatever it was, and David Bennett was in California, and God told him to drive to Maine. And he and Sandy drove across the country to Maine. These are old names. And I was up there. I ended up up there. Scott Robinson, Oklahoma. David McAdams, Katona, New York. We are from many different states and different places in America. And in a way, we didn't know how we got here, but we are with this pastor who is on fire and also humble and simple and clear and anointed. After he preached, he didn't leave the church. He stayed with us. And when he taught us about prayer in the morning, and he taught us about visiting people, he taught us about faith and sharing our faith with people. He taught us about being kind and humble and happy and joyful and in visionary. And saying, in principle, we can go to Vietnam if we bring the gospel. We can go by faith. This is what I think. This is the end of my message. This is what I think. That the prodigals come home. The people without any knowledge of God come home. Come here. Come to God. This is what I want. This is because we have experienced it and know that freedom. And that love. This morning we said Song of Solomon, chapter 2, the voice of my beloved, come away, my beloved, come away, rise up, come away, my beloved, from behind the wall, come away. I don't know what challenges everybody has as a person, but I know we all have them. But if we come away from them and we've said the Lord, like we seek him, we will find him. If we hear him and follow him with all our heart, Jeremiah says, with all our hearts, we'll come with joy and rejoicing and everlasting joy upon our heads. That's what I want. And we would say, here we are in America, it's pretty crazy out there. But believe me, it's not crazier than the fact that God gave his son. It's not crazier than the fact that God's grace is bigger than sin. That the gospel is more powerful than man. That the grace of God will meet man anywhere, in any dungeon, in any dump, in any state of mind, in any condition, that he goes to the uttermost, because our God is a saving God, living God. Wow. He can do it. Father, you know in our country, God, you know we hear the voices of the Baals. We hear the cry of Goliath. We hear the outrageous blasphemy of the unbeliever, the bold, atheistic, you know, communistic, old story. There's this proverb, it says in 26:16, it says, a man, a slothful man, is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. And the principle is amazing. You can explain to somebody, communism is a failure psychologically, financially, politically, internationally. Communism is a disaster. Communism is of the devil. Communistic, atheistic is no answer. You give seven reasons, but a man over here, he's persuaded in his own conceit. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. And, you know, when you get choking on your own foolishness and choking and drowning in our own conceit and emptiness, then we need to hear the voice, come home, turn back, come to me. I will enlighten you, free you, save you, forgive you. I will fill you, comfort you. I will confront you. I was thinking, Jesus said, I will send you the comforter. And I'm saying, Lord, right now we don't need the comforter. We need the confronter. We need the confronter. You know, and Jesus said, I am the confronter. I am the confront. I confront the lie. I confront the arrogance. I confront the pride. I confront the sin. I tell you as it is. But then comes the healing balm of Gilead. Comes Arthur Blessed coming across the country. And I don't know, 30 years later, with a brain aneurysm that does not burst, this man is preaching the gospel everywhere in the world. And I think maybe he must be in his getting to be 80 years old now. I don't know. But that's what I wanted to say. I hope it means, I mean, I am just so persuaded this can happen. This can happen. Father, we ask you, would you pray with me? Father, we ask you to raise up these young men and women. We ask you that we would open our mouths and make known who you are. We ask for marriages to happen that are from heaven, to edify, encourage, compliment in your plan. And that some are not to be married, and that is your business, God, not our business. And there is no message here except that you are the God that does all things perfectly and very well. We ask for little churches, Bible study groups. We ask for people to tumble out on the street with joy because they've been forgiven of their sins. We ask for prayer meetings for Vietnam and Lebanon, Beirut, Lebanon, another place. We ask for prayer meetings, Father, for Morocco, Africa, and parts of Latin America. Bible schools to be filled with your joy and your peace and your love. Homes with little signs in the bathroom saying, pray for Lebanon, Beirut, Lebanon. Pray for Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. Dormitories with Bible verses and maps where we want to have spiritual conquest. For this country, Don Barnes and his vision in Greenfield. And if every pastor in this country would be busy in ministering and edifying as they are, and even more so, and passing it on, that we need your help and your guidance, Father, and bring people by the streams of cars coming into the parking lot, people coming on the sidewalk to somebody's home in Hamilton or Harford County or up in Carroll County, coming with a Bible under their arm or on their phone and saying in their hearts, I am so glad I am a Christian. I am so glad to be Spirit-filled. We meet under the tree for prayer. We meet on the street. We hand out material. We're looking and sowing seed. We're looking for lost people. And if by your Spirit you tell us to take up a cross with a little wheel on it and take it in the street, or even in the country club, sitting in a booth, we're having a coffee, and you speak to our heart about a lost soul sitting at a bar stool, and to go to the bar and order a Coca-Cola and speak truth to a lost person. We want to harvest, God. We need souls in Jesus' name, for hell is real. Hell is real, and heaven is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Thank you, Lord, for this meeting tonight. Please speak to us and guide us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, in your name. for our president, our country, our government, for the wickedness that we have in so many different quarters of our country, in many places, in different institutions, and so on, but we do not care about it. We ask for prayers to move mountains. We ask for prayer meetings in Washington, D.C., in Congress, Senate, in the White House. We thank you for what you're showing us by the Bible. We are in the end times. This is a critical time. We are about your business, Lord. And do it as you have done it. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. In Jesus' name we pray. And anyone here is not a believer, come to Jesus tonight. Please come to him. Come on down front. We'll shake your hand and say yes to Christ. Say yes to Jesus now and walk by faith in him, in his name. Amen.